Welcome to the art and science of difficult conversations. I'm Chris.
And I'm Lucy, and we love having difficult conversations.
That's right. And each week, we'll either share a tip, hear how others have gotten better at difficult conversations, or demonstrate common difficult conversations and what to do and what not to do.
Let's get into it.
So today, in our role play strategy, this is something that hits home for a lot of people. It's about how to have a conversation with an older family member, a mom, an aunt, somebody, about the need for sometimes maybe assisted living, for a nursing home. And this is interesting because Lucy and I will talk about this later, but culturally, even that has a loaded way of doing it, because in Asian culture, it's not as common to want to put an old, older family member into a nursing home. It's very much, they should come live with us. And so we'll talk about that in Lucy's culture and my own cultural beliefs around that and as we go through it. So let's go through first how not to handle the conversation. So in this part, Lucy is going to be my mom. And so we'll jump into it. And this is how not to have this conversation. All right. Hey, mom, listen, here's the truth. You know I love you. You know I want the best for you. You also know driving is just not possible anymore. You know, you got into an accident last week. You keep asking me to come drive you to the grocery store to run errands, but I live 8 hours away. I can't be just dropping everything to come help you.
I get it, Chris. I don't want to be any burden to you. I do want to be as independent as possible. And so, I will recover and maybe I can ask a neighbor if it's too much for you to come over to see your mother.
I get it, but I think if you were, I'd feel a lot safer and happier knowing that you were somewhere where somebody could take care of you all the time, and I've looked it up to some cool assisted living places that, you could still be doing your own thing, but there's people there that can help you.
I don't think I can live in the assisted living. I need my own space, my own structure, my own bills. I don't want to live with anybody, with some weird people. And I heard so much abuse is going on in those places. I don't want to be like people abusing me anywhere. I'd rather be here by myself and dialogue.
Mom, I don't want
rather dialogue. I think that's going to be best.
Don't talk like that. Come on. Listen. I know that there are places, you're right, there are places that are bad, but I looked up these places. I've got the ability to get you into a place that's pretty good, that'll keep you safe.
Chris, why don't you come here and live here with me? I keep asking you. We have the place.
You know I can't do that.
You could move in closer to the same area. We don't even have to live in the same
Listen,
house.
Kaya,
your family, family should stick together. You're just leaving me somewhere in a house with the strangers.
Listen, look. I give you
everything.
I agree.
And you put me in a house.
I would if I could. You know, Kaya's 17. Like, if she was like younger, maybe. But she's like 17. She's about to graduate. Like, why uproot her now? Like, that doesn't make any sense. She's about to graduate with her friends. She can go to college. And then, like, in a couple of years, maybe we can discuss that. But right now, I'm concerned about you right now.
Well, it doesn't seem like it. It's always somebody else is more important than your mother.
Mom, come on. Listen, just please promise me you'll think about this, because I would love to be there more often. You know I can't.
I don't know. I'm telling you my opinion. I really don't want to go live in some place for some old people.
I don't know what to tell you, Mom. You are getting older.
No, I don't.
You are getting older. That's the truth.
Then this. Well, then I'm gonna be here by myself. It's okay. I rather have my independence. I understand your concern, but it's at the same time I have the right to live my own way. And if I get into accident, well, then I'll deal with it. Or
Let's cut it there.
okay.
Let's cut it there. Boy, you know, I think this is
Well,
such a
I was
personal topic.
challenging.
We're all working through some personal stuff here. But what do you, from your point of view, from the person on the other side, what didn't go well there?
So, I would take first responsibility for myself here, and I think I was really giving you a hard time there. One of the strategies that some people may use, out of place of worry or fear, kind of the guilt tripping. I've done everything for you. I gave you my life. I've done so many years for you, and you cannot even do this little thing for me. Come once in a week to visit your old mother. And it's very difficult to be on the receiving end. And it's also very difficult for the person because there's a lot of pain, there's a lot of grief, especially if they lost their significant other. Then it's a huge, major life shift, life change. And especially if they also see their, friends, peers maybe be getting disabled or even dying. It's very difficult. And in our society, we don't have the resources to support them as much yet. Maybe it's going to change. And those resources that are there, they have already the bad reputation for abuse. So there's a lot of fear, lots of uncertainty, even grief for that person. And one of the ways that people have the tools is the gay kind of guilt tripping. So I think that was kind of I used that tool, unfortunately. And then another thing that I see that I did that didn't work well, actually, I really didn't acknowledge you. You kept saying, how much you care, how much you actually love me, and that it's coming out of place of care, and really you want me to be safe. And I didn't acknowledge that. I was just saying the same thing. No, you actually don't care about me. Because if you did care, you would act the way that I want you to act, which is you move closer to me and you do what I want you to do. So kind of it was more about my needs rather than yours. And I even didn't want to think about that or think about other people's needs. It felt like I was thinking very personally, if I'm not in the center, you don't care about me. Kind of the all or nothing thinking almost. So that
It's
also doesn't work in relationships.
it it's so funny that you used, oh, it's not funny, but it's great that you used guilt trip, because that's exactly what my mom would have said.
Yeah, I've been on the receiving end, so I could channel.
What
I
about from
didn't.
my, what about from my end? Like, what did I say or do that wasn't helpful?
That's a great question. I would say being there with me a little bit and helping me maybe explore my own fears and kind of helping me reconnect to how is it for me and maybe having me feel like I'm being hurt, also validating my concerns. And so that I didn't hear that, and that naturally created that defensive and like, you don't hear me, so you don't care about me. And I need to keep saying what I'm saying. And basically, both of us were saying our thing, and nobody was listening to the other, validating the other.
And I think this is why family discussions are always so hard, as we did with the Thanksgiving one, because there's already such a huge long history of dynamics and relationships that are there. And I don't know about you, I don't know about other people. I'm assuming other people feel this way, but it just gets much more heated quicker internally. Like my heart starts beating faster sooner than if I'm talking to a coworker. You know, it like I'm on a knife's edge right away.
Yeah, absolutely. I know for myself, we've had some intense, I moved basically on the other side of the globe. It was not just the different state, but me personally, I moved to the other side of the world. So it's even more difficult to come visit. And so for us, the conversation can also get more intense. Or when my dad passed away, it was also a very difficult time for our family. And how do we deal? And the emotions get more intense.
That's right.
And my mom also wanted me to come and live with her. And it's a major life decision. I would have to uproot myself when I've basically lived my whole adult life, basically here in the States.
Right.
So it is challenging to navigate. And what I know about myself, I had to really prepare myself for those sometimes difficult conversations with my family members. So I know I am in a place where I, no matter what they say, I'm able to stay calm and really do my own grounded practices to really stay grounded, because I know if I don't, or if they catch me in a time where I am all stressed out by my own other stuff and I'm not able to kind of maintain that calmness no matter what, or that kind of being in that loving space and validating, empathetic, then things get actually worse and both of us get hurt.
That's true. So why don't we try doing it a more effective way? I'll approach it in a more effective way, doing those things of listening and engaging. You might still be defensive. I think that's par for the course for any hard conversation. We're always going to be on
Yes.
edge. But if I'm the one facilitating it, it's incumbent on me to try to get us both back to baseline and back
All
to
righty.
even keel so we can have that conversation. So let's take two. Let's see how it goes. Hey, mom, how are you feeling today?
I have a little bit of back pain, Chris. It's after the car accident. It really hurts, but it's okay. I'm trying to get through the day. Thank you for asking. It's nice of
Is
you.
it worse today than it was the yesterday?
It's a little better today, I think, but with the weather, it's not helping at all. Cold weather.
I know it's cold. So.
Yeah.
Well, listen, Mom, I'm glad we have a chance to chat. I want to really chat with you about something that I know. Listen, I know there's no easy way to say this, and it's hard for you to hear. It's hard for me to talk about. I'm concerned about you being able to live in that house by yourself.
I hear you, Chris. I've been there in this topic before. You know my opinion. I'm really not feeling it to go live into some strange house. I've lived here in this house my whole life. It's with your father, we created this family here. There's so many memories. I know where to go. I know where to find things. I have my own space. Living somewhere I don't know anybody. I hear all these weird stories, people being abused. I don't want to. You want me to go in that environment? I would rather here be by myself. Yes, sometimes I get hurt, but it comes with old age. But at least I have the peace of mind that nobody is abusing me, and I know where I am, and I have my own space here.
I mean, Mom, I hear you and I agree. I don't want you to be hurt by accidents or by other people. I don't want you to be hurt in general. I mean, I know like that house is important. That's where I grew up, obviously. I guess I just care about you, right? Like I want you to be safe. I don't want you to be hurt, and you're not close by. I can't get to you if something happens. So like if you fell, like I can't get there easily.
Yeah, but it's your choice. You decided to move away.
That's true. That's true, I guess. I mean, you could argue the job is here.
so you can always choose to come back if you're that worried about me.
I know. And I wouldn't mind it, but Kaya's like in 11th grade. She's got a couple of years of high school left. I don't want to uproot her now. You know how that, like, you agree, like, you don't want to uproot your life. And she's got her friends here. She's about to graduate, and once she goes to college, we're much more mobile. We can be wherever we want to be. But these next 2 years are hard for her to hard would be hard to ask to have her move somewhere else. And I get
Yeah.
it. You want to keep doing your own thing. You want to be able
Yeah.
to get around, and you're concerned about your
Yeah.
safety from other people.
You don't want to move. I don't want to move either. You got to understand, it's also uprooting for me. I've been here my whole life. I don't want to go some strange place. I would rather stay with my family. I was with my old parents till they died.
Well, let me ask you this. What can we do that where you still feel safe, you could still do your own thing, and you are safe? There's somebody that's, there are people around that are able to keep you safe and kind of respond if something happens.
I mean, I have phone. I can call 911 if I need to, if something happens.
About something other than the police?
Don't know. I don't want strangers in my house. I don't, that's difficult. You never know who you get. I also heard some stories about some strangers in the house. Can be, steal from you, rob you.
Well, is your
So,
biggest concern strangers that you don't know who's going to be working with you or helping you?
well, that's one of the concerns. And then also having somebody strange in my house, it's uncomfortable. I like my privacy here.
That's fair.
And I feel like they're looking down at me. It's like, I still want to be capable and independent. I don't want somebody to do stuff for me. I want to do it for myself. I want to still be able to cook for myself. As long as I can, I want to do that myself.
Here's an idea. You tell me what you think. What about the idea of you moving near us?
That's too
I know it's not your
far.
house, but around here, if you moved around here, you could still get an apartment near here. You could live independently. We're nearby. We could still help you, and you're not with random people.
Chris, well, thank you, Chris, for offering. That's very nice of you to, looking for other ways how we could be together. And at the same time, I also have some friends here. While they're alive, I still want to be with them. It's just like you have community, your family there has community. I also have community here, so I don't know.
Well, how about, would you be okay with it if we just keep talking about, would you be open to just keep talking about like finding options to help you?
I guess we can keep talking about it. That's fine.
Okay. As long as we can keep talking about it, because I care about you. I love you. I want to make sure you're safe and that you're cared for.
Chris, I love you too. I care about you too.
All
We'll
right.
find a way.
Okay. We will, for sure. All right. We can cut there.
Alrighty.
Boy, sounds like a conversation I just had with my mom.
Oh,
But tell me your thoughts on that one. What went better in that one, knowing that there's no one right way to do it, but what went better?
so where do I start? I will start this time with you. What I've noticed, you did such a beautiful job of actually asking me questions, I would say, that helped me really stay. Like, okay, what do I want? What is really my concern? That was a great question. Like, what is really your concern? Is it the strangers or it's something else? And that actually helped me to pause and reflect, like, what is really about that I don't like? It's also the privacy, and also part of it is like I feel almost ashamed, or I feel afraid of like aging. And that's almost like a proof if somebody's there to help me that I'm not capable enough anymore. And it makes me feel even worse about the aging thing. So actually you asking helped me kind of reconnect. What is it really about? And you also validated me. And you were really actually very calm throughout the whole conversation. There was this calmness and really kind of like the loving concern. So that was also like calming. So whenever I wanted to kind of have the guilt tripping, less, you know, it was less desire for that, less defensiveness. Because you were providing such a safer space for me just to be and express myself and really feel like I'm being hurt. And I think that made a huge difference. So I wasn't really as in the fighting defense mode. I still was saying, you know, this is important to me. And at the same time, you kind of really were nodding your head. And so I felt you get it. You hear me, you think about it. So you didn't dismiss it right away. Like in the previous one, it felt like it almost didn't land, and it's just you kept talking about this, you know, your agenda, and I was talking about mine. And so I think really you did well validating and staying calm and hearing me out and also asking questions and really not pushing me anywhere, but just having that at least a small step moving forward, at least keeping the conversation open. And actually, since I didn't feel pushed into anything as much, I was like, yeah, we can talk, it's okay. It made me feel a little bit more safer to have that conversation and explore the options, because I didn't feel pressured or judged, actually. So what
I'm
about
so
you?
glad you threw in the idea that your friends were there and the support system, because I think that's in this kind of conversation, it's so important, the idea of community and support. It's a transition.
It is.
In these kind of conversations, it is a big transition, just like it was to leave home. It's a different transition now to suddenly be like, oh no, now I'm like losing parts of my what I've known for such a long time as an adult. And
And
that could be, it's a grieving process. It's a loss.
absolutely. And especially if they're also going through other losses, so they're losing a lot already. Plus, they could be losing their loved one, even their friends. My mom is the only sibling left from our family, basically. She lost three siblings already. Plus her husband, plus her schoolmates. And so there's a lot of grieving, lots of shifts and changes, plus the physical changes that, you know, maybe they cannot walk as well anymore, or they cannot remember as well as before. And it can be very scary and overwhelming. So plus to kind of insert additional huge change there, it could be really overwhelming for the person. And so you really did a great job of validating and really being kind of empathetic there and not pushing, not adding additional pressure that they are already probably feeling a lot of that and uncertainty and stress. How was it for you? So I'm not just sharing how it was for me. How was it for you, Chris?
I think it was good for me because number one, I knew what I was going to be doing. But also, I think in these kind of conversations, I always talk about we always talk about like have a clear goal in mind and have like an outcome. But it's also being aware of that outcome isn't always going to be like a conclusion. Sometimes the goal is we just need to have continued conversation. We're willing to continue to talk about this as opposed to, no, we're not talking about this. This is a roadblock. We're never going to discuss this. Stop talking about it. It's more, can we just at least open the dialogue to keep talking about it? And just being flexible, knowing that there's not going to be a one size fits all. And like, until I know truly what's bothering you or what the con issue is, we can't solve the problem. So, like, yes, you're concerned about independence. You're really concerned about losing your support system, losing your friends, losing kind of privacy. Those things are super important to you in addition to the independence. And if I just focus on the independence, I'm going to miss the other things that are really bothering you. So it's really, this is the heart of like interest-based negotiation, just really understanding what's driving the decisions. And so if I know that, then I have to also be flexible in knowing, okay, the solution I have thought of previously might not be the right solution. And if we can think of it together, you're going to be more on board anyway. You're going to be more willing to be invested in it and move towards it.
That sounds like kind of that strategy would also give me some say in it and
Yeah,
empower me.
that's
So
right.
that would be kind of addressing my concern. So I could still be have a voice, which the
Yep.
fear of losing the independence is the fear of losing actually having a say.
Absolutely.
How was it all for you to be on the receiving end of the first interaction also versus the second one? Any changes that you've noticed?
I mean, the changes were clear, right? The second time you were much more calm. I think the emotion was still there, right? If we were, as we were talking in between, like the emotion is still there, the passion is still there. We just don't, in the second one, we didn't feel like we had to talk over each other to get our point heard. You had plenty of space, and I like had to fight to hold back and just listen and pay attention. But then I didn't have to fight to be heard either, because you had felt heard, you felt listened to, you were able and willing to listen to what I was saying. And I was rephrasing it too. I wasn't saying you need to do this, or you need to, I know better for you. It's, this is my concern also. This is my fear. This is my concern. I want what's best too.
Yeah, so in a way, you also showed vulnerability
Yeah.
and were really not forcing me to make a choice right there at the spot. So it wasn't like a power struggle. It was
Right,
more
right.
compassionate, like really building that relationship, continuing. And actually, that allowed me also to share, my love for you, my care for you as well, to put myself in that space rather than in the previous scenario, I felt more like hurt, not heard, hurting that alone that nobody cares about me, rather than being in that space of feeling connected.
Right. And I think a misconception of these kind of conversations, or what people even listen to this podcast for, is what are the magical set of words that I can say to convince the other person to agree with me? And, really, it's about difficult conversations are about creating d deeper connection, deeper relationships, so that we can solve the problem together in the future.
So it's not really about the specific words or techniques, but really creating that connection. And yes, there are techniques and tools,
Yes.
but there needs to be also an intention of really having that empathy and compassion, for the other.
Right.
So that actually the emotional impact or kind of take away from that conversation. The conversation can add emotionally also and in relationship wise on a better note, even when they actually don't reach a decision, let's say, but maybe a small decision, a small step moving forward, just like let's just keep the conversation open, just like a small mini step where
Yeah.
both parties say, like, yes, this is something that we can do, both of us.
Yeah. I mean, it's no coincidence. The second scenario, we ended up saying we love each other. The first one didn't end like that. It was like,
Totally.
all right, I'll talk
No,
to
I
you
don't want
later.
to talk to you at all.
So, yeah, it's really about deeper relationships. And I think it's interesting. You and I both come from a culture where it wouldn't be normal. I mean, maybe it is more so nowadays, but it's not typically historically normal to say, let's go to a nursing home now.
No, not at all. Yeah, both my grandparents and my mom actually still lives in the house that, my oldest sister That so she lives there. They build additional floor. Luckily, it's a big house, so they can have, private space. It's separate, yet they're still connected. She's just like a next floor above my mom. So if my mom needs anything, my sister and my actually other sister right there is too. They are there. So at least that elevates some of my guilt and concern that I know she has the support. If she didn't, who knows if I would even be here in the States. I don't know, because in my culture also, I don't know anybody from any of my friends that would put their parent into a nursing home. So actually, when we were preparing for this conversation, I said it's really difficult for me because I haven't actually been in that environment, even culturally.
And before we recorded, I was sharing with Lucy that my grandmother, who has been living with my uncle my entire life, she recently, in the past couple of years, was put into a nursing assisted living because she has dementia. This is becoming unsafe. And it was quite the transition and journey for my whole family to even just to come to terms with that. But I think it's interesting to see how it changes over time. And I think, I think it's important to adapt and be able to just meet needs and what is the best way to take care of people's needs and keep them safe. And and they had a nurse in the home for quite some time before that. So it's something that they had to really come to wrestle with.
Yeah, and I think what makes these conversations even more challenging, it's really because they're emotionally charged. It's with people we've known our whole life and that we have sometimes complicated relationships with. So it's not just having a conversation with somebody at work that maybe we will leave the job and we'll never have to see them or talk to them again. But this conversation might be one of the most difficult conversations with our loved one and family members.
Yeah, I agree.
And it's a topic that I think it's important to actually discuss because with also us living longer and longer, I think this might happen actually a bigger, even a more challenging topic and more popular. I even have clients right now, even one of them, wondering, my husband, he's starting having symptoms of dementia. How do I deal with this? How do I have the difficult conversation with him when he, it's becoming also unsafe for her because when he gets triggered, he might become aggressive. And now they live alone. So also from a woman's standpoint, it could be really also unsafe for the other partner in certain circumstances. So what to do then? So hopefully some of the tips, what would be some key takeaways? Hopefully we have some. I actually, before we wrap up, I wanted to ask one more question. What would you say supported or supports you in staying calm in those difficult conversations that you have?
I think preparing is a big key, making sure that I know, okay, it's going to be a hard conversation. So what do I need to do to prepare ahead of time? Do I need to clear my schedule to really emotionally prepare and mentally prepare? Do I need to practice? I have a younger brother. If I was going to have this conversation, I would talk to my brother like, "Hey, listen, let's talk this out. Am I missing anything?" If I would talk to my aunts and uncles to maybe prepare to see if they have any thoughts, if they agree, or maybe they're better off to have the conversation. If she has a really close relationship with her brother, maybe then I'll talk to my uncle and say, "Hey, listen, do you agree? Do you disagree?" And if he's on board, then really he should be the one. He could have a better conversation than I can. And then if I have to, I think what always works for me is just asking more questions. Like, yes, that helps in a conversation, but that's actually my way of also staying calm, is that I don't have to say anything. I can just listen. If I just focus on listening, I don't have to focus on what I'm going to say next. I can just focus on what are they saying, what are they not saying, and what am I trying to hear.
Makes sense. And I did notice that you are actually more present really with me and like listening, true listening. And I think that also made a difference for me to be on that receiving end that helped me to calm down also. And I'm hearing also really, really part of that staying calm inside of that conversation is also to do work before and
Yes.
do that research. And for somebody that maybe doesn't have a big family, that they don't have that many people to talk with, maybe even look at some podcasts. I wonder if there is additional really around aging, around what are the options actually, and get ourselves even
Yeah.
educated
Yeah, I think
around that.
if I knew more options, that also could have helped the conversation in terms of problem solving. Like, oh, what else?
Yeah.
Here are some other options that I've found.
Yes. Sounds good.
If it's also, I'll say this, if it's a phone call, having that mute button is really helpful because then you can scream in the middle of the conversation.
I use that one too.
Yeah, just take it out. One of the things I do when I role play or when I coach other people to role play, before we do the role play, I'll give them a minute or two beforehand to vent. Say whatever you are truly feeling, yell, scream, swear if you want to. But get it all out for like a 1 minute, 2 minutes, and then let's go into the role play. And I find that when I started implementing it, like people just like really felt like a weight lifted when
Nice.
they started doing it.
Yeah, so sounds like really rather than holding all the unpleasant maybe frustrations and emotions inside, really letting it out.
Yeah.
And that creates that space to actually be there with the other person.
Absolutely, yeah.
That's a great strategy. I love that. Thank you for bringing that up.
Yeah. What about you?
And also I love the mute button. I
Yeah.
think I use that in some difficult conversations over the phone where they actually don't see me, to just take a breath. And when all in me wanted to say no and not hear them, I kind of muted myself so I don't jump into what they're saying, but really let them speak and just take a deep breath and kind of my own grounded practices, kind of reconnecting how I'm feeling, what's happening that it's triggering me. Kind of it comes to that practice of self-awareness.
Yeah.
And kind of that is that might not be in the moment, or if there's in the moment of really again, like I keep saying it, getting reconnecting with our body, it could be taking the deep breath in that conversation, or focusing on something in the environment for a moment, or really focusing on something in their voice and actually asking, so what is it that they're telling me? What is really underneath? What kind of value, what kind of fear they might have? So
Yeah.
it could be really focusing, just like similarly with you, I also ask questions. And it also could be helpful, like putting ourselves into their shoes. What is their concern from the loving perspective rather than defending our position, really trying to understand theirs?
Yeah.
Anything else? How should we close today?
I think we covered a lot, and I think it's really emotionally charged. So, I encourage everybody listening, all two of you, if you wanna share your thoughts, please like this podcast, but also feel free to email us. We'd love for you to hear from you about what did we miss, what could we add? Is there a part two we should try to add more complexity? We'd love to try it because I think the more real we can make it, the more useful we'll make it for everybody here. So let us know. Follow us on LinkedIn, follow us on this podcast, and let us know what else can we demonstrate or talk about, or what can you show us? If
Ooh.
you are really good at something, let's get you on here and let's have you and show us how we should be doing it.
I love that. What's coming up for me? Since we are talking about difficult conversations are kind of co-creation in a way. So we would love you to help us co-create this as well through your input.